line. We are joined by Vikings legend Chuck Foreman. Chuck, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
How would you feel about running behind this Vikings offensive line?
Why do you put me on a spot like that?
Well, but I mean, you were a hell of a running back, a hell of a receiver.
With my running ability,
yeah.
Okay, I would find a way. Because all I need is, like Gail Sayers used to say, give me 6 inches of daylight.
And you'll take it from there.
And I'll go from there. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to see some improvement. I think they're looking to make some changes. They have to. We're going to get Adrian back. And let me say something about Adrian. It's going to, you know, I'm lucky we're going to be the team to have him. Because knowing his personality and the kind of guy he is, you know, he comes off of that one season after major knee surgery, yep. And then he runs for 2,000 yards. He hasn't been on the football field for over a year. And when he gets back on there, he's going to have a lot to prove to himself. And he's going to run with reckless abandon this time around. So I'm glad he's going to be fine.
Well, now, Chuck, the other thing is you got Matt Khalil next to him now with Brandon Fusco next to him. That could make it a much better left side of the line because Charlie Johnson just wasn't getting it done.
Hello?
No, you know what, Chuck, we're having some trouble hearing Chuck. We'll talk to him again. Chuck, let's touch base tomorrow, Chuck, if you can hear me. We'll talk.
I'm sorry.
Oh, here we are.
I lost you guys.
No, okay. You're better now. I didn't know if you were in a bad area. And I was saying if you could run behind Brandon Fusco and Khalil, that's a lot better than Charlie Johnson and Khalil.
Right. You know, I don't know whether you heard me or not, but as I was saying about Adrian, you know, those sloppy pop blocks that they were making last year, they're going to look a lot better this year because Adrian's going to be behind there. So you get a great running back that can make things happen. It really uplifts the offensive line because they know that, you know, if they just do their job, some big things can happen.
Now, Chuck, you and Gale Sayers needed 6 inches. What does Adrian need? Does he need 5 inches or 7 inches?
He needs six.
He could do it too.
He's great, but he's not that much greater than Gale Sayers.
Yes, it's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good company. And
right.
And by the way, as we noted the other day, because we were going through some of the accomplishments you had and why you should be in the Hall of Fame, Gale Sayers did not average as many points per game as you did because you were second to
right.
Jim Brown. So that's you know, Gale was a hell of a running back, but he wasn't getting the putting the points up that you did.
Right. I really did play. I had a lot of great guys. You know, Sammy White, Ahmad, John Keeler, they were opening it up on the outside. We had, of course, Fran Tarkenton. Our offensive line with Ed White and those guys, man, were just, you know, they were really good at what they did. So it made the job a little easier, you know. I mean, at least I got to the secondary where I could do what I do best.
Yep.
And that was a good thing. But listen, I listened to you about your baseball and the Twins.
Yep.
And I watched this movie called Moneyball. You ever see it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, to me, or it might be too early in the season to say that, but it has a lot of similarities with Torrey Hunter being there, being David Jeff coming back. And, you know, you don't need the Torrey Hunter of old. You need him of new. The younger guys are coming up and playing smarter baseball. They're taking more pitches. They're doing all the things they need to do to win the baseball games. And, you know, the coaching, you know, Paul Molitor, you know, everybody knows he's got great, you know, ability as a coach. So it's coming around. I think the Twins are going to do some good things.
Well, the Twins have the connection to Moneyball because they knocked him out that first year.
Yeah, they did.
So it wasn't too bad. Chuck, I love talking to you. Let's talk again maybe tomorrow or next week because we got Jack Jablonski just got in. We want to talk some hockey with him. Chuck, thanks for making the time.
All
and
right.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Chuck Foreman, Vikings legend. Great to talk to Chuck. Now, Jack, joined by Jack Jablonski, what happened on 35? Was there like a police? Were they chasing somebody or an issue? Do you have any idea?
Well, we couldn't figure it out, but on 36th Street, trying to get onto 35, there were cops, you know, blocking off two entrances, and there's an ambulance and fire hydrant.
Oh, that's not good.
So, we don't really know, but cops were everywhere, and you know, we made it and we're safe here. So,
well,
that's all that matters.
That's the key. And as a hockey, you know, a hockey guy, you must be thrilled to have two game sevens.
Best time of the year. It's it's been unbelievable so far with, you know, all the drama that's gone on in the playoffs so far. But I think as a hockey fan, you can't ask for much more going into the both one game away from the Stanley Cup playoffs with two game sevens here.
So who do you like? Okay, who do you like in the Rangers-Tampa Bay series?
I think you have
tonight, by the way.
Yeah, I think you have to go with the Rangers.
They're home.
They're home. You know, they had the best record in the NHL. Henrik Lundqvist in Game 7, I think he's 7-0 in his last Game 7s. So they're all, you know, the statistics and the way that they've played in the last two games would definitely add up in saying, you know, the Rangers are going to take this one.
And the Rangers have not in their history lost a Game 7 at home.
Which is impressive, especially for the franchise and the teams that they've had through the years, you know, consistently making the playoffs. For the Rangers is a key, but at the same time, not losing a Game 7 on home ice in the Garden is quite impressive as well.
Well, actually, it's not tonight. It's tomorrow night is the Tampa Bay Rangers. I thought it was going tonight. Then Saturday is Saturday night will then be the Chicago playing against Anaheim. And you've liked Anaheim all along here, right?
Yeah, I think Anaheim at home, you know, likewise, you know, also best record in the West. Two teams that, you know, Tampa or Chicago has been there and done that. You know, Anaheim has consistently fell short, you know, last 3-4 years when the teams have looked tremendously talented. When you look at the roster and somehow in the playoffs, they end up, you know, choking last year against the Kings, and who obviously went on to win the Cup. But Anaheim this year, I think they have the X factor. You know, Getzlaff and Perry are playing well. I think it's a matter of time before Getzlaff gets on the score sheet. He hasn't had a great series against Chicago, and at the same time, they're at home. I think in the NHL, it's home ice doesn't mean a whole lot until you really get down to the, I guess you could say, you know, crunch time. And you know, with the last change, Kessler's going to be able to match up against Taves and hopefully shut that line down. So you've got a lot of opportunity for matchups that the home team gets.
Now, in both of these series, there have been a number of goals scored.
Yes.
Who's been the best goaltender of the four?
That's a good question. I really think it would have to be Crawford up to this point. And it's surprising to say that because you look at the names and who's playing goalie for the other three teams. And you got Lundqvist, who's, you know, in the last 5 years been debatably the best goalie, I think debatably with Quick. And then you've got Bishop, who was a finalist for the Vezina last year, you know, had an injury that kept him out of the playoffs, had a great year this year. And then you've got Anderson, who's, I think, had the most talents on his team. So he's had a lot of help when it comes to the goal scoring category. So he never, you know, has to put up 0-1 goals a game. But Crawford, with the talent on Anaheim, has truly been able to keep Getzlaff quiet and to keep Kessler quiet here and there. He's stepped up a few times, but Crawford has been the most consistent, I would say.
Well, and it's interesting because he had such a rough opening series.
Yeah.
And I mean, for a guy to turn it around the way he has, mm-hmm. You know, against the Wild, certainly, you know, he had a pretty good series against them and what he's been doing with Anaheim. Now, if you're projecting Anaheim to win and the Rangers, who do you like in that one?
I still think that Anaheim has the X factor. You know,
this is that Southern California bias.
It may be, but
go to USC and suddenly you're like a homer over there.
Oh yeah, but I really do. I think that with the size and the skill that they can put on the ice against you know, potentially New York, outplays it. You know, you look at the scoring that New York can put up against Frederik Andersen versus the roster that Anaheim can put up against New York, you know, you've really got to look at it favoring Anaheim with the size that they can still be able to score with.
Now I'm going to take a wild stab here. Jack Jablonski goes to Southern Cal, had his first, you know, your semester there. And I'm guessing you know more Anaheim players than Ranger players. And is that true? And is that factoring into this at all?
It's not factoring in, but
you do know more Ducks.
Yeah, actually, long story short, the reason I'm at USC is because of
the Ducks.
And so I've, you know, gotten to know quite a few of their players, and I do know Stepan and McDonough pretty well, and they're, you know, they're great guys. But at the same time, you know, I know the whole roster of Anaheim, and it really doesn't factor. And I think that when you look at the moves that that Anaheim made at the deadline and getting Sakach and at the same time sticking with Frederik Andersen, when you've got Gibson, who's a young stud, you know, in a matter of time to be a star in goalie, the moves, and with Boudreau, it'll be interesting to see those matchups. But Anaheim, I think, with the combination of size and speed and ability to score, has it.
Well, you know, having seen Chicago over not just over the last few years, but what they did to the Wild, if Anaheim knocks them off, they've beaten one heck of a good team there. And I still think Chicago, even though they're on the road, I still like them to win this thing.
Yeah. Well, they've been there and done that, and that's one thing that Anaheim hasn't done. You know, they know what it takes to win a Stanley Cup, and I think one of the biggest debates through this series especially has been if Chicago's D can truly, you know, hold up and not, you know, tire out. When it gets to a long series, you know, they've truly played about four defensemen every game, and somehow you have to assume that at some point they get too tired or they, you know, start giving up a little bit more than they have in the previous games. So it'll be interesting to see if the physicality on Anaheim and the dump and chase type of game for the checking lines on Anaheim can take advantage of a little bit more fatigue defense.
Well, I'll say this. If it does turn out to be Anaheim, New York, after both playing a seven-game series and then having to make the cross-country travel,
yep.
I mean, it is going to be a test of stamina for these guys.
It really is.
I mean, I know it's the Stanley Cup Finals and you dig deep for everything, but that is that's a grueling. I've done it. I mean, I've gone from the East Coast, from New York to L.A. It is, this flight never ends.
It really is. And I think the biggest thing to look at is the defensemen on both teams. You know, you look at the depth, and Anaheim has been able to play 6D consistently. And from top to bottom, you know, there isn't a huge gap between skill level and ability to contribute. At the same time, you know, you've got McDonough, you've got Girardi, you got Boyle. And then, you know, who follows after that? Who's going to be able to step up? And that's one thing that is truly a testament to the GMs and the coaches and their ability to spread it out enough that they're not too tired. And on that note, you know, Chicago's been able to do that successfully as well.
Well, Jack, we're going to take a quick break. Jack, you can stay with us, right?
Yep.
And we're going to be joined when we return by Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press. Jack Jablonski is with us. Hellboy Helmsy, David Helmer. I get so many damn nicknames now. he's, as always, with us. We have Sam helping us out there in the other room. So we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Chris Thomason. Talk some Vikings football. We are back. Jack Jablonski with us, and we're joined on the phone by... Oh, I should have given more to Bruce. Oh, well. By Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press at TwinCities.com. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bob.
Now, we just talked about it a little while ago. The key to this with Fusco moving, is it whether or not T.J. Clemmings can handle right guard, or are they happy with what they've seen just in the OTAs from him?
Well, we're not starting with Adrian Peterson. You forgot about him?
No, we'll get to him.
Okay. You know, they're trying different things. Nothing's etched in stone, but Brandon Fusco is a pretty darn good lineman. The left side, obviously, is very important. It was kind of a disaster at left guard last year with Charlie Johnson having a mediocre season, and then Matt Khalil had a bad season as well. So they're obviously hoping Khalil bounces back, and then Fusco will add some other improvements to the left side. That and the fact that they're looking at T.J. Clemmings as more of a right guard, and that's an indication that if he is the real deal and really the type of guy that should have been taken in the first round, he's a candidate to start. I mean, one of the things they were telling Joe Berger's camp during contract negotiations was they didn't consider him a starter. And if T.J. Clemmings seizes that right guard job and Fusco remains healthy, then Joe Berger won't be a starter.
Well, and that's why I, because that brings us to AP, because he, as Mike Zimmer pointed out, he wants to play, he's going to have to play for us. He's not going to play. This offensive line could be much better run blocking with Fusco on the left side, and if Clemmings can get it done. I mean, he doesn't need a lot to hit a hole, but it could become a lot better, maybe better than the way the line was for him a few years ago when he ran for 2,000 yards, potentially.
Yeah, well, it's still, with the exception of Johnson, who has been falling off significantly and hasn't even been signed to any kind of deal as far as I know, it's the same line they had in 2012 when Peterson rushed for 2,000 yards. And Matt Khalil said yesterday he's feeling the fittest and best that he has since he arrived in 2012. And obviously they love John Sullivan, just gave him a contract extension and more money. So there's no reason to believe that if, you know, the principal parts stay healthy, the line can't be as good as it was in 2012.
Now, what about this whole AP thing? I mean, I know you're probably weary of it because you've written so many things, you've talked to so many people about it. What I don't get is, how could he honestly think they're going to guarantee the money?
Well, it's almost like, what's today's strategy? I mean, they've had his agent saying he doesn't want to play here. They've had his agent then come out and saying he wants a new contract. Peterson remains silent. Then Peterson kind of says the same thing yesterday. I mean, Peterson knows that he's probably going to be playing in Minnesota this fall. He's not going to be traded. He knows he doesn't want to alienate all the fans. He's alienated plenty already.
Yes, he has.
I mean, he's, you know, like many people, like LeBron James, he likes to be liked, which is why LeBron James went back to Cleveland, because he wants to be liked in his hometown. So he's human. He wants to be liked. So he's saying, oh, I don't want to be traded. I want to stay here. But he's at least trying to get something to salvage it, if you want to put it that way.
Well, but again, I just thought, why keep alienating everyone? You're not going to, first of all, his money's guaranteed this year. All he has to do is show up, because if he gets hurt, he's going to get paid. And we learned last year, even after what he did, he still got paid. Or he can sue somebody and he'll still get paid. I mean, I think he's probably worried particularly or specifically about that $17 million in 2017. That's what he wants to try to get guaranteed, and they would be absolute fools to do it. He really, I mean, in terms of leverage, it's probably the least leverage I've ever seen an athlete have.
Well, I disagree a little bit from the standpoint. People say that, I might write that on my blog, there's a fact later today, that the Vikings hold all the cards. There is one potential card Peterson might hold, and that's 2016. Okay, he's due to make $14.75 million that year, which would be an insane sum to pay a 31-year-old running back, and I can't see them paying that unless he has another 2,000-yard season. But what if he has a pretty good season and he's, you know, pretty good back? If they're not going to negotiate with him, he's ticked them off, so it's all or nothing. He's not going to negotiate at all. They either got to pay him $14.75 or release him and he goes sign with somebody else. At least if they attempt to talk to him and maybe try to get that number down in succeeding years, if they'll guarantee some of it, at least they've made an effort and maybe talk to him. So he holds that card, I believe.
Chris, Jack Jablonski here. You mentioned how, you know, his agent and he have been, you know, making statements that they don't want to play here. You know, he's considering retirement. Do you really think that's, do you think it's partially coming from Adrian, or do you think the majority of these statements are truly coming from his agent?
Well, the fact that he can retire, that's utterly ludicrous. I haven't even bothered to write that. I mean, it's somebody in Peterson's camp saying, well, you know, if they don't trade him, he's going to retire. You know, like the Vikings are really going to be scared about that. I mean, here's a guy who values his legacy, and he's going to retire when he still has some good years left and possibly keep him out of the Hall of Fame, you know, retiring early and with, you know, the last thing that happened to him, the child abuse incident, no chance at all of that happening.
You know, I'm thinking about what you said. I understand it, but I wouldn't budge if I were the Vikings, because if he has a really good year, they still retain his rights. You know, and that paying that now, or he could have a bad year, and maybe they don't want to pay him that money.
I'm saying if he has a pretty good year, I'm saying no, he doesn't rush for 2,000 yards, but he gets 13, 14 yards. He's pretty darn good back. He's not worth 14.75 million, and then you've ticked him off, and he's like, all or nothing. Then you either pay him $14.75 million in 2016, or you cut him, and then he goes and plays for $5 or $6 million.
Well, what do you? Okay, let's say they did guaranteed money. How much of a reduction would the Vikings get from the 14.75, or even would he get reduced this year? Was he? You think he's looking primarily at 16 and 17, or is it really mostly about 16?
Yeah, you know, you can do all sorts of things. I mean, maybe you could even add on another year in 18, but significantly, you know, reduce the dollars, but guarantee a decent sort of them. I mean, it's all negotiation. I mean, you know, maybe you drop the number to 8 or 9, I don't know, in 2016, drop it a little more the year after, and then maybe put on a token final year, and then you maybe give them another signing bonus or something along those lines. I don't know. I mean, it's all part of negotiation.
See, Chris, to me, his signing bonus and his guaranteed money came last year when he did nothing. He got some.
Right,
he had
right.
a pretty good
I mean,
year
him,
for doing
him
nothing.
Him arguing about his contract. I mean, he signed this in good faith. He got a tremendous.
Yeah, he did.
Signed a shorter deal. I wasn't around when he signed it. I'm just saying that he at least has this potential card of making it an all or nothing proposition of we pay $14.75 million or he's gone when he's had, you know, a pretty good season, but he hadn't torn up the record books.
That's a lot of money. My goodness. I mean, that they gave him that contract in the first place is kind of astounding.
No,
but
I mean,
it was easy.
Unless he runs for 2,000 yards again, I just can't see how you can pay a 31-year-old running back that sum in 2016.
But see, the other thing from the Vikings standpoint, if they have a good year and he has a good year, maybe a lot of this stuff that's going on now, it recedes and he wants to stay here. Although he always did want to get to Dallas, but they could get themselves in a position where they don't want to pay that money or come close to it.
Well, at least if you, I mean, Peterson, by putting Go Vikings at the end of his message, the first positive thing he said about the organization in many months, at least indicates that, you know, he's in a little bit of a good mood and maybe try to negotiate with him if he just completely don't return any calls to his camp and say, we're not talking, we're not negotiating.
See,
I mean, all that's going to do is kick off Peterson and his camp even more.
We're talking to Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press. See, when he said go Vikings, I just assume what the implication was, go away Vikings. Leave me alone. I just didn't hear the away part.
Okay, well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and finally say he was attempting to be somewhat positive.
Now, you have contacts that a lot of people don't have. You should talk to his dad. When you talk to his dad again, ask him, what would it take to get it done to make him happy and get him in? What are the dollar numbers? Because maybe you'd learn from Nelson where he's at, and maybe they wouldn't be that far apart.
Yeah, I've already asked him about contracts.
No, he won't give you.
And renegotiations and whether he would even, you know, whether he would even talk to them about a renegotiating deal. And, maybe you can, I don't know, you just take a few dollars off each year and you guarantee them and maybe give them an extra year. I mean, there's these ways that these things are done. I mean, Dwayne Wade, of course, he's loves the Miami Heat and doesn't have ill will, but, you know, they restructured his deal and he took less money and his was completely, entirely guaranteed. So.
Now, I got to ask you quickly before you go, have you ever asked his dad or anyone in his camp, why did he let that condo go for only $12,000 or $15,000 in back taxes, the one down in Houston, where he could have just, if he paid the back taxes, it wouldn't have went to a sheriff's sale? Or did he finally actually pay the money so it didn't go to a sheriff's sale?
When was this?
This was several months ago. It was due to go to a sheriff's sale, and all he owed was $12,000 or $15,000 in back taxes?
It was something small for
him. And it was the furniture alone was worth quantum times more than that.
Maybe he needs that $250,000 workout bonus more than
we think, huh? You could be right. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. He's on top of the Vikings as well as anyone ever could be. Thanks again.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, and Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. We'll be right back with Jim. It's breaking now. AP's on a Twitter rant. We'll talk to Jim about them. We're joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, have you seen this rant that started about half an hour ago by AP?
I don't know.
Oh, is Jim with us?
Not yet.
Okay, well, then I'm going to read them to people until we have Jim. It started 26 minutes ago. Adrian Peterson on Twitter. I love people who think they know it all. SMH, shaking my head. Thanks to Jack here. I didn't know that. I don't follow those little things. Research how many NFL teams has it. You know it's AP because the grammar's wrong. Research how many NFL teams hasn't honored a player's contract and learned something. Question for the people. Is a contract two-sided or one? Okay, great, two-sided. Well, why when one party decides, Mr. Question Mark, we want you to take a pay cut now, or better yet, flat-out release you? This is another tweet. There's never no talk about honoring a contract. I know hundreds of players that wished their team would have honored, all caps, honored, the contract, but instead they got through to the side like trash. A little crazy how one side has so much power that they can do as they please when it comes to the contract, but when the other side, parentheses players, feels for whatever reason, family, change of scenery, or simply what they feel just might work best for them, those same laws don't apply. It's all about honoring your contract. Y-O-U-P-O-S-V-R-E. Sounds like free will is being a little challenged to me. I don't know what the heck he's talking about. We're joined by Jim Suhan. Jim, did you get a chance to read some of these rants? The last one was a minute ago.
I read all of them, and it's kind of like listening to Latrell Sprewell talk about money management.
Well, yeah, he's got to put food on the table. I'd say AP's a little pissy about it, about not getting the guaranteed money.
Here's the thing. Adrian, everything Adrian is saying, every premise he's offering, no matter how badly spelled or no matter how bad the grammar is, everything he's saying about NFL contracts has a basis in truth. And I don't really disagree with the message. I disagree with the messenger, the timing, and the self-righteousness. This is, if any other NFL player, other than Greg Hardy,
yeah.
If any NFL player who hadn't done something really heinous in the last year was saying, hey, the NFL players have a bad deal, play a brutal sport, have too much unguaranteed money in their contracts, are too easily cut without compensation, aren't supported enough in retirement, aren't given enough medical support throughout their lives. I mean, any argument you want to make like that is absolutely dead on. The NFL has always been a brutal league with brutal management and management tactics. There's no question about it. It's the richest sport there is, other than FIFA maybe, and it is the one that treats its athletes the worst. All of that is true. I just want to hear from Adrian Peterson.
Because he's due to make $13 million this year, which essentially, if he shows up, is guaranteed.
Yeah, and not only that, but if he's asking the Vikings to cut him so he can have freedom of movement, well, he did sign this contract. The Vikings are honoring this contract, have honored it up till now, are planning to honor it this year. We don't know what will happen after 2015. And if Adrian, if the Vikings just did a favor for Adrian, said, hey, okay, Adrian, we love you. We're just going to cut you so you can go out on the free market. He wouldn't make as much money as he will make this year with the Vikings. So again, I disagree. I agree with the premise. You're talking about someone who doesn't understand how good he has it in terms of his current contract, and beat a child 9 months ago, and doesn't seem to care that there are ramifications to that.
No, in his mind there aren't, and the fact that he made over $12 million, $25 million over 2 years is what he stands to make from last year and this year. And last year he played in one game, yet still got paid. I think he's. Some people will be sycophants and will follow it through. I think he's losing people with this, though. Think about how much, just the $250,000, Jim, that he is, he'll get it before he comes back. I know they can work a deal to do it, but he could be forfeiting it. Let's say he does. How life-changing would that be for most of the people in the state of Minnesota? $250,000. I mean, it's absurd that he thinks that people are actually going to read this and say, yeah, AP, you're right. You're getting screwed. My God,
the only people who will remain on his side are the kind of people who just are that fan. That fan who's going to wear the Adrian Peterson jersey, is going to carry and switch the to the game and say, just entertain me. I don't care about anything else. If that's the way you all look at it, more power to you. But I don't have much respect for that view. I don't have much respect for people who have it. But that is the world we live in, Bob. There will be people who will just support him because he's a great player, regardless of how else he behaves or what he says.
Jim, one of the saddest things to me was last year, after it became clear and we saw photos of what he did to that four-year-old, people wearing his jersey. And then some people even mocking it by carrying a stick.
Yes. We all saw that. And I remember, it was one thing. It was really ugly to go to the stadium for the Patriots game and to see that, see people carrying switches and wearing Adrian Peterson jersey. I tell you what it really got me. I was at the Green Bay Hotel for the Vikings game later in the season, and there were people in my hotel with their kids in the breakfast room wearing Adrian Peterson jerseys. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And you know what? I even came across some people, and some of them work in our business, who didn't really understand that corporal punishment has a horrible effect on children. And they learned through this process, reading what psychologists had to say, reading what child care experts had to say. They didn't know that corporal punishment was as damaging to children as it actually is. And this brought them some enlightenment. And then they realized, you know, hitting with kids, which is never a good idea, even if you don't, you know, tear open the flesh the way Adrian Peterson did. For someone much after the fact who has kids to still be in some kind of support of Adrian Peterson is disgusting.
Well, and by the way, he just posted seconds ago, all I'm saying as a Minnesota Vikings player, we need the same power to do as all 32 teams do, we they feel, under contract or not. I mean, he's not, obviously he's not proofreading, but I think some of it is he's so wound up about this that he has to make his statement.
And the other thing is, while I agree with the premise that NFL players have always had a bad deal, taking your fight to the public, what you're doing is you're trying to get people who are living check to check.
Yes.
Who have worked much worse. I mean, the NFL players have bad deals because they are part of an incredible success story, and the success doesn't always make it into their pocketbooks. It's not always guaranteed, you know, because of the, I mean, I'm really sympathetic to NFL players is not necessarily on contract size. It's on post-career care. The fact that they can get a concussion or blow out a knee and, you know, or deal with
them. Yes, they're abandoned, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, to deal with horrible life issues the rest of their life without any support. That's where I'm really sympathetic. But if you want to take your money fight to the public, you have to be smart enough to understand that 98% of the audience would do anything to trade places with you.
Yeah, and again, it's not like they're skimping and not paying him what he's due or
right.
It's beyond his value the way running backs are now. $13 million is what he's due this year. Jim, I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about EP tomorrow because I don't think he's done tweeting. But, Jim, thanks again. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, thanks again. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks,
all right, and we're going to come right back, and Blair Walsh will be calling in. I want to talk to him about the new PAT and what he thinks of that. And you know what? I'm not even going to – Blair, if you're listening, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask about Adrian. So it's safe to call. It'll be an AP-free zone while you're on. But I do want to talk to him about that PAT because he's a guy with a thunder foot. To him, it probably is no big deal. Some other guys, it's going to be quite a big deal. We'll be right back. Hopefully, we'll have Blair Walsh on with us. He should be calling us. We're back. Jack Jablonski with us. Jack just telling us we'll hear Blair Walsh be calling us momentarily. We hope they go way back. They're buddies. So you guys can chat a little bit. AP, by the way, he's still tweeting. It's time for a change, exclamation point. Then again, I'm grateful because at the end of the day, I know some of those same guys that wish a team held on, exclamation point. For the Vikings' sake, I just hope he runs with the same reckless abandon that he writes with. Because if he does, my God, the year he's going to have. Because he's writing with some reckless abandon here. He's on a, if you missed it, he's on a Twitter rampage. Complaining about contracts being one-sided. And he's very upset about that. And clear, you know, my thought is what happened? His agent talked to the Vikings today, and they made it clear again they're not redoing his deal.
Yeah, it's kind of what it sounds like.
He's upset, and he's striking out. And he's right. Unless you have a guaranteed contract, every contract that I have ever seen or know of, whether it's in the NFL or in business, is one-sided.
Well, I think that, as Jim Suhan was on before us, I think that was a great point that he brought up, in being that, you know, the points he's making are valid
yes.
points. Like Jim said, it's also, you know, not the time or the place or the right person to be bringing
no.
up these points. But overall, you know, that's just how life works. It's a contract.
You know what, Jack? I think your old pal is on the line here. We go to Blair Walsh, Vikings kicker. Blair, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And I had said before, and I'm going to stick to it, we're going to make it an AP-free zone. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you about AP's Twitter rant, because that would be unfair to you if you haven't seen it. But I have with me Jack Jablonski, and he said you guys go back a bit because you and Jack got to know each other at the WE conference, right?
I do, yeah. Jack and I hosted it for a little while and were the MCs for about 30 minutes of the thing, so it was fun. Come on, Jack.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it, and it was a good time. You know, I like to think we changed some lives there, and that's really all we did, but it was a good time.
Listen how cocky Jack has gotten.
Yeah, look. He's living the L.A. life now, so, I mean, he's too cool for
that. That's right. He's changed the lives. Now, Blair, I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to hear from you. You've got the Thunder leg, that this moving back to the 15, that's probably not as big a deal to you as it is other kickers. Do you care?
I mean, of course you care. I think the way I looked at it is that there was talk that they were going to move to PAT and to the one-yard line and almost eliminate it. And the way I'm looking at it, I think the way other guys should look at it is that, you know, the fact that they moved it back will just make us a little bit more relevant, and it'll keep us, you know, it'll keep kicking in the game of football. And so for that, you can definitely not complain. And, you know, it's definitely going to hurt the guys who play outside all year, because towards the end of the year, you're going to have to...
That's a good point.
Adjust for the wind conditions, but the teams that play inside will definitely have an advantage. But you know what? It's kind of like that anyway with kicking right now. So it's a wash in that regard.
Well, and you have one more year of kicking outdoors until you get to go inside. So you're right. You're going to have to deal with it this year, going back to the 15, and it essentially becomes what? Like a... what is it? What do you see it as exactly? 30 what? 35 or just a little bit less than that?
It's 33 yards.
33 yards.
You're allowed to move it to each hash mark if you would like, and I think we'll probably end up doing that. We're going to experiment a little bit here in OTAs and see what we like and go from there.
Now, for you, because some kickers have been proponents of, instead of doing that, why not narrow the goalposts? Would that have been a bad way to go?
You know what? I don't think it would have been the best idea, because then I think you're discouraging teams from kicking field goals. And, you know, I think to an extent the traditional part of the NFL game is, you know, 3 points, field
yep.
position, scoring as the point after. So, I mean, unless you want to take kicking completely out of the game, I don't think they should move any uprights. I think their solution right now is fine. And, you know, I think it'll keep it competitive. You'll see, in my opinion, probably one or two games this year lost by a missed extra point. But, you know, that's always a possibility.
Blair, you mentioned how in OTAs you're going to do a little bit of experimenting on the left hash or the right hash and where you feel comfortable kicking. Is there a preference that you have? I know that a lot of times at the end of the games when they have, you know, the last second field goal, you see, you know, the offense, you know, run it right down the middle and keep it right in the middle. Do you prefer left side or right side, or do you prefer it right down the middle?
I would prefer probably left side, because for right-footed kickers, that's more open window for you. It's more natural for you to push the ball down the middle than it is to try to hook it in. You know, it leaves you a little bit more room for error. So I think if you were to give most guys a choice of what hash they'd like to be on for a free kick, I think most right footers would take left, and most left footers would take right. So it's somewhere in that area.
Now, Blair, I got to admit, when you kick off, I don't really watch you after you've kicked off. I watch what's going on down the field. Do you start heading to the sideline, or what do you do after a kickoff? Because it's different now that if you miss that extra point, it could be returned, and you might have to get more involved and work on your tackling.
Well, you're missing a show if you're not watching me run down the field after a kickoff. But usually I'm trying to just saunter down there because I'm hoping the ball goes through the end zone. But
it usually does.
I try to be. I try to be over 50% with that. We were somewhere in the 60s this year. That's good. But
Now you sound like Jack.
Yeah, I know. I try to make it downfield and try to make myself just another cog sort of in the system and to make sure that I fit into what my responsibility is. And a lot of times guys get too caught up in trying to make the beautiful tackle or the beautiful play when really it's as simple as eating space and getting in the returner's way to make him make one more move. And that one more move could allow a guy who's trailing to catch up and tackle him. And a lot of times that has happened with us. And, you know, it's one of those things where you don't really practice tackling a lot because you don't want to take the risk of doing something that's unnatural for your position and getting hurt. But you do kind of have to be an athlete and take the right angles and learn what angles to take. And we always address it during training camp. And Preep does a good job of that.
Blair, you mentioned how you kind of, you know, work your way down there and trying to, you know, fill up a lane. I know last year it was, you know, one of the more memorable plays when Antonio Brown kicked the Browns kicker in the face. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
No, I have not. My first actual play, though, in high school ever was there was a guy named Major Wright that was a safety for the Bears. I'm not sure where he is now. He pretty much trucked me on a fake field goal, and that was my opening to football as I know it. And I was about a 50-pound sophomore.
That's great. Hey, Blair, I really appreciate you taking the time. We have to schedule this when you have more time. It's fun talking to you. Thank you.
Absolutely, of course.
All right, but Blair Walsh, Vikings kicker, thanks again for joining us. We're going to turn things over to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Thank you. And Blair, thanks again so much for taking the time to join us. Thanks to Jim Suhan, all of our guests today, Chuck Foreman, Jack Jablonski. Jack, thanks for coming by and sticking around. Great questions you had there. Cocky little thing you. We're going to see you tomorrow. Thanks again.